It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Late than never, I hope. You only thought this program was a rerun. It's not. This program's live. It is the 16th day of September 2020. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. I was late getting to the mic simply because, well, Bob Kincaid, amateur Uber driver. It's not always quite so easy being an amateur Uber driver. So, I go and pick up Ferg at 11 this evening. I picked him up at 10 last night. The only problem was he didn't show up until 11. And tomorrow's going to be a real Lulu. I have to have him there at 8, and he works till 11 p.m. Somewhere along the way, there's got to be a violation of a labor law in here somewhere. Labor laws, we don't need no stinking labor laws. Jim Justice is maximum governor of West Virginia, and, well, it's his West Virginia, and we all just hillbilly in it. Yes. Hi, I'm Bob, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. How about that? Yeah. Made it to midweek. Dr. Bill O'Brien has been in good form all this week, rare form. So those of you who enjoy his programs have three of them to ponder and consider this week. And I was tickled pink that Bill was able to get three programs in. So thank you, Dr. Bill. Now, as for me, this amateur Uber driver business is kicking my ass. But I'm trying to get through it as best I can and see how this all plays out. And if it's kicking my ass, it's got to be absolutely devastating to Ferg. Like I said, tomorrow I got to have him there at 8. And I don't know if I pick him up tomorrow night or not. He's got some wedding or something, so who knows? Who knows? I'll advise it shouldn't impact the program itself. And as for me, not only am I Bob Kincaid, amateur Uber driver, but those of you who loathe and despise cigarette smoking, and I'm one of them, you may be thrilled to know that I'm Bob Kincaid, guy who hasn't had a cigarette for 3 days. And I think it's getting a little bit easier, but oh my God, the muscle memory thing. I jumped in the car to go get him last night, and the first thing I did was reach down into the little cubby there where I usually keep my cigarettes and lighter, that Bugs Bunny. Oh, what am I doing? But there weren't any cigarettes to reach for. So, it's weird, but we're making progress, and the name brand Nicorette patches, Nicoderm. They do apparently stick a hell of a lot better than the off-brand, store-brand Walmart patches do. So what I do of an evening is I get toward bedtime, give myself about an hour, and then strap on a patch and keep that on until, you know, an hour or two after awakening, and then start in on the patches. Those things are kind of, it's the same thing with the Nicorette gum. They're kind of hard on the innards. They make your belly a little bit uncomfortable, but beats the hell out of Jonesing for a butt. If I ever get around to building that time machine, I'm going to go back in time and look at little 14-year-old asshole me, explain to him that I know everything, and when he reaches for that first cigarette, I'm going to kick his ass up around his shoulder blades and say, try it again. Until we finally figure out that he doesn't want to be a smoker. Ugh, this is yucky. Hey, thank you. Thank you to Jeremy in Vermont for getting us started this evening. It is much appreciated. Fundraising goal was $345 for the evening. Jeremy just took it down to $340. Thank you, Jeremy. And thanks, of course, to our 16th day of the month subscribers, partial sponsors of the program, one and all. That would mean thanks going out to Timothy and to Brock and to Timothy the Other and to Glenn and to Reinhard on the Virginia coast. Thank you very much indeed. And, of course, again, there's $90 remaining on Tony and Chico's $100 new subscriber challenge for the month of September, and we've got less than a half a month of September to go to fulfill it. 9 new $10 a month subscribers get their first month subscription doubled courtesy of Tony and Chico. Thank you, Tony. Thank you very much indeed. And if you'd like to subscribe, it's just a matter of clicking, just checking a box there at headon.live on the PayPal interface. Make this a recurring monthly donation, I think is what it says. And you'll be a member of the merry but small band, the happy few, who keep this program available and free for anyone who wants to listen anywhere, anytime. So thanks again to our subscribers, both at Patreon and at PayPal, and our a la carte contributors. We are at $340. 10 folks at $34. $34 for 10 folks, 34 people. What? Yeah, you know, 34 people at $10 a piece, or 10 people at $34 a piece. Two at $170. Four at $85. Oh dear, this is where it gets complicated. Eight at $42.50. 16 at $21.25. Yeah, but $340 to go. And again, thank you. Let's see, some notes to get us started. So Amazon has started doing podcasts. Thanks for letting me know, Dave number 11. So how do you add your podcast to Amazon? We will be adding it there and perhaps finding a new and expanding audience there now that Amazon has begun running podcasts. Thank you. Thanks for that reminder. And Henry of Henry's Olives. Speaking of the white stuff at the top of the on the brine at the top of the bottle, Henry says it's just a harmless skim mold. Happens with fermentation sometimes. And thanks for the feedback. Thanks for the olives, Henry.
Thanks for the gumball, Mickey.
Right. How do these things get stuck in my head? It was our buddy Bob in North Carolina, Stan. I just got a notice from Amazon Music that they've started hosting podcasts. I couldn't find ours. Thought you might want to look into it, and look into it we shall. Thanks, Bob. And then this. Bob! Last night, Billable Rick phoned Bob, and the two were discussing whether Ohio was in play for the election. Rick mentioned that Giraffrey and I, like to go around counting the Trump versus Biden signs on the lawns here in my region of the Buckeye State. One, little two, little three, little Bidens. Four, little five, little six, little Bidens. Yep. On Tuesday, I often frequent a wonderful Italian restaurant. Oh, no, not an Italian. Not food porn. Not this early. Just tell me they don't have magnificent gnocchi in, like, a duck confit or gnocchi in a beautiful tomato cream sauce or handmade meat raviolis in a wonderful tomato cream sauce covered in mozzarella and run under the broiler till it's all stringy and gooey. Just don't tell me that, Joey. Anyway, on Tuesday, I often frequent a wonderful... That's we. That's you and Giraffrey, right? God, here I am. I'm looking out for a stuffed giraffe. Jesus Christ. On Tuesday, we often frequent a wonderful Italian restaurant on the northwest side of Canton, Ohio, home of the NFL's Hall of Fame, I might add. Then Giraffrey and I hop in the car and make the 40-minute ride home, which for the most part is Trump country. So from northwest Canton up to my home near southwest Akron. Okay, I just visualized that. It took me a second. Sorry. Last night, Giraffrey and I counted about 45 Trump signs to 23 Biden signs. Giraffrey seemed very dejected about the Trump signs outnumbering the Biden signs. It's kind of hard to tell, though, because you got to look up and you can't really see the, whether he's smiling or grimacing that far up. But that's part of Joey's talent. And I just explained to him that there's nothing scientific about the number of signs and yards correlating with the outcome of the election. I then explained to Giraffrey that there are so many Trump signs around because that constitutes all the reading that the maggot class actually engages in, and all the maggots tend to do is walk around town and read their simple signs to each other, and because, hell, they're not capable of reading much else, including a newspaper. This is real entertainment for the maggot masses as they believe they're owning the libs with a barrage of signs. They also claim they read their Bible, too, but nothing in their lives reflects that notion, considering if they actually did read their Bible in a newspaper, they sure as hell would not be voting for a disgusting devil such as Trump. Hear, hear, and amen, Joey and Giraffrey. Actually, Biden has been holding his own in Ohio as the collection of polls reflects a statistical tie. That's a statistical tie. Get me into the left through. All things considered, that is a good sign, considering Biden and the Democrats have put almost no money into Ohio. I'm very good friends with Troy Golic, name dropper, one of the executive directors for the Democratic Party in Summit County, Akron, Ohio region. And Troy told me if Biden is still in a statistical tie come October 1st, Biden will dump a boatload of money into Ohio advertising for the last month of the race. So that's a good sign. Interestingly enough, signs everywhere, sign it, blocking out the scenery, beast in my mind. Do this, don't do that. No more singing. I mean, we do have a $340 fundraising goal, which is $140 from yesterday, but I'm not going to sing. Interestingly enough, within a mile of our home, there are four houses in a row, all with Trump signs in the yard. One of the signs reads, "We support the Second Amendment." And another states, "We support law enforcement." Here's what these signs should say. One, on each lawn. Sign number one. "We support a pathological liar for president, a person who has lied over 20,000 times as president. We support Trump." Sign number two. "We support a sexual deviant who is currently being accused of sexually assaulting or raping over 20 women and will not relinquish his DNA to prove his innocence. We support Trump." Sign number three. "As Christians, we support a man who's been married three times and cheated on all of his wives. We support Trump." That is, with all due respect, Joey and Giraffrey, we need some word choice action here. "As Christians, we support an adulterer who has been married three times and fornicated on all of his wives. We support Trump." See? Better that way. Sign number four. "As soldiers, we support a man who made fun of war hero John McCain and referred to the military men and women as suckers and losers. We support Trump, a draft dodger." Sign number five. "We support a real estate and bank fraudster.
an individual who has committed state tax evasion but will not release his taxes. We support Trump.
Giraffrey, meanwhile, is holding up a sign, and when Giraffrey holds up a sign, Giraffrey really holds up a sign that says, Biden and Bidon. Thank you, Giraffrey. Very good. I agree. That's a two cowbell note, and this has been Joey's Journal for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, the 16th day of September, with Giraffrey praying for bygone days and Bidon days. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good, Joey and Giraffrey. And look, the sign thing is kind of a problem. I don't mean that it's necessarily an indication of any kind of lead or anything. But here's what the maggots have managed to accomplish, and it truly is a hallmark of fascism as we move toward November the 3rd. In conversation last night, I mentioned that I don't dare. And I know, okay, it marks me out as a chicken shit. So what?
What?
I've only got one house and would prefer for it not to burn down with me and my family in it, okay? And right there, like I said, a true hallmark of fascism is why there's no Biden sign in my yard. Because the last time I put a sign in my yard, I think it was Barack Obama, that was 2008, and my children were still riding the bus to school, and they were called a ginger lover and tormented at both on the bus and at school, and not a goddamn thing was done about it. And somewhere along the way, somebody heaved a billiard ball at our house. And, you know, I don't have window replacing money either. Yeah, so, okay, maybe it's cowardly. Or maybe discretion is the better part of virtue. But the bottom fascist line is that in many places in this country, especially if you're in a red or maggot state, you make a public profession of your support for Joseph Robinette Biden at your peril. And that's just a fact. So I make no bones about my support. Anybody asks me, I'll tell them, and I'll tell them sometimes if they don't. But probably not going to be no Biden sign, because our house sits a little too close to the road. You see? So that's how that works. I ordinarily don't bust into the filibobster for a call early on, but we've got Silent R. Lamar on the line, who asked to share a word or two before we go into the meat and potatoes of the program. Hey, Silent R.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you, my friend?
I was feeling kind of bad until I started listening to the program. The way it started, I was crying in my beer. Since I don't drink beer, I was crying in my bourbon.
Well, I was I've got a friend, Silent R, who likes to put a couple of green olives in his bourbon, and that adds a little salt to it. Tears are salty, and he likes his green olives in bourbon, and, well, who can argue?
I like my Spanish olives, too. I like my green olives, too, but I just like them on the side. I like them to be...
Oh,
I like
but my buddy...
have segregation with them.
Yeah, well, anti-green segregation, huh?
I go that right.
Yeah, my buddy Bo likes to drop them in his bourbon like depth charges. And he says...
I used to do that, too, brother. I didn't mean cut you off. I used to do that. I still do that on occasion. But I still like to look at them in the jar to the size, looking at, ooh, look what I get to have after this sip.
We got to, you know, I mean, you're out in California. Maybe it wouldn't be so desperately difficult for you to get your hands on a jar of these Henry's olives, the new Spanish-style fermented garlic oregano Sevillano olives. If you're a green olive guy, you'd love them, Lamar.
Well, don't tell me I have to go to Trader Joe's to get it.
No. You got to go to Humboldt County to the farmer's market.
Ouch. Okay.
I'm not ready
for a road trip.
Yeah, that kind of puts going to Trader Joe's in perspective, doesn't it?
To a point. I don't like going to Trader Joe's because it's an unfriendly area for me.
Ah, okay.
like I said, California is still California. Even though we don't have the race riot, we still segregate. There's certain parts of California, after a certain period of time, you don't go unless you want to argue with police. And I am not going to, the police are not like the ones you have in Australia. Sit there and talk with you for like 20 minutes. But what I wanted to get to, when I came in the program, I thought you had already started, but you were talking about the veterans and the paper and stuff.
Yeah, that was the beginning of a program from a week or so back, because I was late getting to the air. But go ahead, yeah.
But yeah, I wish I could have called in on that day, because Sparky and Roger are the same age of the cousins of my 13 cousins. Work with me. I lost. It'd be a dog, man. And then my father fought in Korea. I have to deal with this bullshit. I'm sorry, man.
No, you got no. You're not owing any apologies, man. What Donald Trump is and what he has said is precisely as hurtful and vicious and mean and disgusting as you are making real for people listening to this program right now.
Out of 13 cousins, only got 3 for a living. I got lucky because Nixon cut that shit short. I didn't have to worry because I'm a mechanical engineer. I was going to the Army Corps of Engineers. I knew where I was going. I had the little caveat to getting out because I was the only son. That was my only way out. But how can I let my cousins go to war and I not do my part as a family member? You know?
I understand.
That's just hard.
Well, I mean, there's a psychological term for that, Lamar. It's called survivor's guilt.
Well, yeah, but then he has the audacity to call them losers and suckers.
Well, that's because he is a truly shitty subhuman piece of garbage.
I mean, I hate to mess your show up like this, but
you haven't messed anything up.
This dude is pathetic. He lies through his teeth. He's bringing fascism to America. And what hurts is people are not educated enough to know and see what this clown is doing. And what really gets me are the people who are enabling him. I mean, we only had Naval Chamberlain. We just had one Naval Chamberlain. But we got almost 100 of these clowns in the House and the Senate. Oh, Mike, it's just sad. And like I say, it's just off the chain. And then he sits there and subliminally say, give me 4 years, and then give me another 4 years. That sounds like Putin, Adolf, and the rest of them. I would just like to say to him, dude, remember what they did to Mussolini? How you like to feel hanging by your heels from the streetlight?
Stand by. Hey, I got a call coming in here I got to take. Stand by, Silent R.
Okay.
Sorry about that, but some of these calls have to be answered. Can't be helped. Let's go back to Silent R. I'm sorry about that, but you got a note, Silent R. You got a note from Darlene in Connecticut who says, "I'm so sorry, Silent R. It breaks my heart to hear you cry. You know, the maggots love to cry and scream freedom of speech, but that's only if it's their speech. The fact that, like in my case, I can't post a political lawn sign is an outrage and a violation of my freedom of speech." So, yeah, the maggots are fucking hypocrites and, yeah, fucking fascists. Darlene says, "I've got 3 signs so far. Hang on, now 5, as some dude from the local DTC showed up. Kind of pushy, but okay. He just added the Biden-Harris one and a local candidate. Trust me, I'm waiting for one or more to get trashed. I only hope my newish Ring security cam picks it up, but Ring sucks, so who knows. Thanks, Amazon, for making the worst security cameras ever, LOL. P.S., the dude said I had a really nice piece of land with a laughing face. So, we've got a community here, and they appreciate exactly what you're saying, Silent R.
Yeah. It's just like, I do not just want to point out Sparky. I want to put it out for all my brothers and sisters of armed service. We are one family, and we have to stick together. But if we don't stick together, nobody's going to take care of us.
Well, exactly.
You there?
I'm right here.
Okay.
Okay, because you're exactly correct.
I didn't want it to seem like I was just picking out Sparky and Roger. I know there's other people. See, what really touched me was Sparky. He made the statement he had been out for 50 years. I'm 62, so what does that tell you?
Yeah.
He is too damn close to the cousin I lost. I lost 2 in combat. I got 2 that were mentally, what they call PSD now. And I had 3 to die from Agent Orange. I had 4 who were in the Green Beret. Okay? I had a couple that were Air Force, a couple of Marines, and 1 Navy. And my daughter served in the Navy. And she's currently part of the Defense Department right now. My baby daughter, my youngest daughter, serves as a nurse on the Air Force base, and this corona bullshit has scared shitless.
And with good reason.
So I'm hurting. I'm sorry for whining or crying like this.
Again, don't apologize.
Men are not supposed to cry. Men are not supposed to cry, but the pain is something to lose anybody over BS is sad. To lose somebody on negligent is one thing, but purposely negligent. I mean, this dude, he wants to talk herd immunity. I'm saying to the farmers of America, you don't want to hear that, because if you're selling cows and you got a disease in your herd, you don't want to hear herd immunity. That means your price and what you have just died off. You lost money. And every human being has a value, and it's not monetary. We all have a value. We all are here to make this planet work.
Exactly. Right. Intrinsic and incalculable, Silent R. You can't put a price tag on it.
That's what I'm sitting there saying. It's sad how we have people who are in power, who have been put in power by people who like what they hear. I'm like, forget what you hear, like what they are doing. I don't care if you're the prettiest woman in the world, but if you have the wrong mindset, I don't want no part of you.
Amen.
I mean, there's no, I mean, if you ever watch some of these movies, Death Before It Kills You is a gorgeous woman. And right in front of your face, it turns into the guy in the shroud. And I get a kick out because I was watching not too long ago, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Remember when the ghosts were all flying around? That one ghost came up there. That was one gorgeous looking thing. All of a sudden it turned into turned into a skeleton thing and sucked the life out of him. And this is what I'm looking at with Trump right now. He's giving everybody lollipops laced with arsenic, okay? I mean, that's the best I can do. I'm going to let you go, man, because I'm really emotional right now, and I generally don't talk when I'm emotional. I just like to sit over in the corner and just think, meditate. But I want to enjoy your show. And if you get to a point where I can re-engage, I will be sending you some emails.
Well, I do appreciate it. You jump in anytime, Silent R. You're a dear friend of this community and a member of this community, and we value and appreciate everything you bring to the program.
I also like to throw a little caveat in for you. You do cheer me up a hell of a lot.
Well, thank you. Sometimes I worry about all the time I spend being Bob Kincaid, little fucking ray of sunshine. But it's nice to know that I give people a giggle here and there and a smile where I can.
Even when you be filibobbering, whatever you like to call it. I'm a little tongue-tied right now. With my Biden speech impediment, it's real. I mean, you are a voice and some logic on the airwaves, man. You come from a different position, but you're still going in the right direction, okay?
I think that's what matters, doesn't it?
That is all that matters.
Indeed. Well, I thank you very kindly. All right, Silent R, you have yourself a good, well, it's still afternoon there, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Well, you know, like, I'm like this. I'm not too much worried like Sparky. I got too much concrete around me. All I'm getting is ash. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
I go out to my car and I got to wipe about an inch and a half of ash off my car. That doesn't look good on a BMW, you know, ashy BMW. That's like an ashy.
No,
BMW.
nobody wants their BMW being all ashy. Nope. Mm-mm. There is no place in the world where being ashy is a good thing.
You and my wife would get along real well because she just gets on my nerves when I come out the shower, man. I'm as crusty as you can be. You want some lotion, honey? Do I look like I want lotion? No. Nobody's seeing my ashy legs but you. So why should I put on lotion? Now, you got an issue with it, we can talk to it about later, okay?
Yeah, and by the way, Lee in New York says, Silent R should not feel that he needs to be silent. Glad to have you share. See?
Okay, I'll call in more often, but I won't be crying on your line. Because this is not the sob station. This is the Orin Kincaid station. Lord have mercy, I forgot your saying. It was right there on my mouth. Okay, let me stop because I'm suffering from Trump. I'm getting dementia.
Well, that's no good. I hear bourbon cures it. With a couple of Spanish olives.
Okay, I can get the olives, but you know what? You must know I need to make a store run, dude. You got Chris. That's right. You say your crystal ball always tells you hazier. Ask later.
Yeah, right. Answer hazy. Ask again later. I mean, can't get any hazier than California right now. So the crystal ball's banging on all eight. Yeah, you got to make a store run, Silent R. It reminds me of that classic tune out there. See, I'm going to sing again. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. Only in this case, it's B-O-U-R-B-O-N, R-U-N, bourbon run.
Bourbon run.
Yeah. Silent R, you have
it, brother.
You have a great evening. Take care of yourself, you hear?
You too. You too. I'm going to continue listening online.
All right.
See you later, brother.
Be good now.
Bye.
That's our buddy Silent R. Lamar calling from Southern California. You know, I got a note here via Twitter talking about not putting yard signs up. We won't even put a yard sign up here in sunny, smoky San Diego. Well, that tells you a little something. Actually, it tells you a little lot. Lee in New York getting right to the heart of the matter. Subject line, crying. We don't cry because we want to. We cry because we need to. There. That. Yeah. And I guess there's a shit show going on right now. We haven't covered the shit show in quite a while. Kurt Eichenwald, thanks to David in South Carolina for sending this along. Kurt Eichenwald says, the old pick and choose. Okay, let's go. If you start with case totals, red states in the top 15 have 2.5 million cases. Blue have 1.7 million. Note, red and blue make up America, and Trump is president of America. So he picks a data category and picks one category, but, he said all that because Trump declared, the blue states had tremendous death rates. If you take the blue states out, we're at a level that I don't think anybody in the world would... Oh, shut up. And then, of course, last night, he said he's coming for us. I don't know if you saw that town hall with George Snuffleupagus. And even for the milquetoast work that the multimillionaires of the for-profit media do, it was still damning. You know by now, because Silent R. Lamar referenced it as well. He said, we're going to get to herd mentality. Which, at first blush, is, I guess, funny. But it's much more a case of the goddess of irony with her hand up his back, making his mouth move and making him say things that he otherwise wouldn't say, but turn out to be the truth. Because the fact of the matter is, herd mentality is the sum, substance, and total of what it is to be a maggot. Herd mentality. Of course, the terrifying thing is that he meant herd immunity. So what that pathological liar, intellectually disabled psychopath said last night was that he is willing to see COVID-19 deaths in this country measured in millions. And I don't know about you. I may be desensitized to a lot of his madness. But when he said that, my blood ran cold. Because for all intents and purposes, he said, I'm going to keep killing until someone makes me stop killing. Our one and only hope of making him stop killing happens on November the 3rd. Sorry about the cough there. One of the things you find out if you quit smoking is that for a few weeks after you quit, there's a little bit of spontaneous coughing. Don't worry, I don't think it's the Rona. But, yeah, that because your lungs are coming back to life and getting rid of a lot of, ugh. I had a little bit of a bronchial wheeze when I would sleep, but having quit smoking, that thing's gone. It's just gone. But anyway, the bottom line is he's done everything but send us a letter made up of or a ransom note made up of letters clipped out of newspapers and magazines. I'll kill until you stop me. Herd mentality, herd immunity. Sweden tried herd immunity. It didn't work out well. It worked out downright badly, as a matter of fact. And in point of fact, it's no surprise that it did, because you cannot have herd immunity unless you get a vaccine. And I don't care how many times he hollers it, it is physically impossible for there to be a vaccine that is adequately tested for delivery to American citizens by election day. That, of course, will not stop him lying about it. Jesus. But that's the reality. The brutal reality. And speaking of herd mentality, let's go to Florida. Florida. Where, as it turns out, illegitimate Florida governor and white supremacist adjacent governor Ron Monkey Up DeSantis, who only became governor of Florida with the assistance of real live actual no kidding Nazis. They don't have it's impossible to enforce any kind of a mask mandate. And so at a Target department store in Florida, a group of mask-hole COVIDiots invaded the store, screaming at people, and by the way, polluting the store, toxifying the store, making it absolutely necessary to do the near impossible, and that is clean out and sanitize and disinfect the store. I don't know what I'd do if I saw something like this. But then again, I wasn't in Charleston the other day as the mask-hole COVIDiot maggots chanted, "Let them play! Let them play! Stop destroying our children!" Because we had that audio on the program. It was more in Monday, I do believe. And I feel such pity for anyone who has to work in that store. And I feel pity for the people who run that store. And I just don't understand. What do you do in that circumstance? Apparently in Florida, you can't call the cops on these bioterrorists. As far as I can tell, in Florida, I don't think. So I guess America just has to let the bioterrorists run wild. Just like when they go grunting and marching around with their freedom protectors. We have to just put up with that too. But these people are actually more dangerous than the armed idiots walking around, because these people are spewing real death out of their mouths. You actually have to pull the trigger to spew death out of the muzzle of a firearm. Jesus. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, and hey, it's Brother Deacon Asa's birthday. happy birthday to a brother deacon on a prayer meeting Wednesday, no less. Glory. Hallelujah. Heck. Many happy returns to Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out herd mentality, more like turd mentality, where it concerns the maggots. And, you know, that's the thing. Those things can be toxic, too. Yeah. Oh, and going back to the question of tears, Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, if you don't cry when needed, you'll just eat your insides out. As a young man, my grandfather told me, real men do cry. Unfortunately, there are far too few men, real men, in this country. And that has led to what is generally referred to as toxic masculinity. Jeremy in Vermont says, congrats on 3 whole days. Just think how much more fun food will be down the line. Absolutely. But I'm just a little worried about that. I'm worried about how much fun it'll be and how much I'll enjoy it. And because I admit I am afraid of, worried about blowing up like a balloon. Because trading off the potential harm of cigarettes with the potential harm of massively elevated cholesterol and triglycerides and fat acquisition, well, that's worrisome. So I got to figure out an exercise routine that I can get into here that won't involve me going to some, you know, viral spewing gym. But anyway, back to Target. Just listen to these maggots, these idiots.
Fucking idiot.
Take off your mask!
And among their group, and there's about 8 or 10, maybe a little more of them, there's one lanky dude, so skinny he looks like he has to run around in the shower to get wet. But he looks very much like one of the, he's got that sort of, prognathic upper jaw forward look that, well, he looks astonishingly like a young Jim Carrey. And, of course, he's wearing a maggot hat. Take it off! Take off your mask! Yeah. We're not going to take it anymore! Yeah. And while I've got a news story about it, you know what the news story does not contain? A paragraph that describes the police being called and charges of terroristic threats being made against these bioterrorists. And of course, we, the people who are trying to take care of each other and keep the disease at bay, well, nobody reached over into the sporting goods section at that Target for a handy baseball bat and came out and kneecapped those disease-spreading maniac potential murderers. Because in America, you just have to let the terrorists have their way. In a way, it's similar to what's going, you know, what I was talking about with not putting up yard signs. We have to just sit and be intimidated and hope that enough of us are good enough to get Donald Trump out of the goddamned office before he can murder 2 million or more American citizens. We're right on top of 200,000 dead. Imagine 10 times that. And you know that is where he wants to go. Yeah, David in South Carolina, Stan says, no signs in my yard. Too many rifles, pickup trucks, deer hunters, and I live a ways out in the country. Yeah, out there where law enforcement don't get to, even if maybe they were vaguely inclined to try. Perhaps I have a death wish, says Steve in New York. I'll wear an anti-Trump mask or pro-Biden mask or display a pro-Biden sign, etc. wherever I go. I will not let them determine my actions. I remember a story a former law school professor told me about Londoners when the IRA would set off bombs. People would not change any part of their daily routine, no matter how small, out of defiance to the IRA, putting aside any political views here, down to continuing to walk on the same side of the street the person walked on the way to work before a bombing. As the cliche goes, which I take to heart here, if I change my behavior, the terrorists, in this case the maggots, win. Yeah, but the fact of the matter is, I got right next door to me a house full of people who, among other things, proudly fly the Confederate flag and have painted a giant Trump sign on the side of their barn. And suffice to say that they are not they're not members of the Garden Club. No. What's that, Jimmy? That audio sounded like a strip club down there in Florida. Woo! Take them off! Woo! Trust me, you don't want a lap dance from any of these disease-infested freaks. Mm-mm. No. Silent R. Lamar by email says, on the comment that we're not going to take it anymore, my question is, where are you not taking it anymore from? Mouth or ass or in the ear?
They're not gonna be told they gotta wear no mask, because they know it's just no worse than a flu. It's in the Constitution!
Yeah. And so, last night had several uncomfortable moments in the town hall with Trump and George Snuffleupagus, who at least did come armed with some facts when he was confronted about his attempt to take health care away from tens of millions of Americans.
No, I didn't. We're going to have a better plan.
And George Snuffleupagus said, well, you know, you said that 2 years ago. You said there'd be a plan in 2 weeks. And then there wasn't one. And then later on, you told Chris Wallace there'd be a plan in 3 weeks, and there wasn't one.
Well, it's already there.
And then came Paul Tubiana of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, not Palestine. Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And he got the first question. And he said, Mr. President, I voted for you in 2016. I'm a conservative, pro-life, and diabetic. I thought you were doing a good job with the pandemic response until about May 1st. Then you took your foot off the gas pedal. Why'd you throw vulnerable people like me under the bus? And Trump hemmed and hawed and said,
I never backed off. We'll have a vaccine within weeks.
Again, there may be something called a vaccine within weeks, but it'll probably just be skanky old Trump vodka from some godforsaken warehouse somewhere put into a syringe bottle, and then we all will get in. Everybody that takes it will be injected with disinfectant, just like, or antiseptic, just like he said he wanted. And then there was another woman, Alicia Black. She said she'd die without her medications. and wanted to know why he was trying to overturn protections for pre-existing conditions. And that's where he said,
that's not true. We're not doing that at all. We're going to have a great plan.
Interviewed afterward by Brian Stelter of CNN, she said, he didn't answer my question. I was on the fence about my vote till that moment. I'm going to vote for Biden, she said. He's reanimated me to vote. Precisely, because to reanimate means to renew life. And Elijah Black understands that if she does not vote for Joe Biden, he may very well kill her. And God, isn't that an argument in favor of getting a bigger majority in the House and a majority in the Senate and Joe Biden? Because remember, old balls and strikes John Roberts and the rest of the white wingers on the Supreme Court, they refused to fast-track the litigation about the Affordable Care Act so that there would not be a ruling before the election. I don't know about you, but that tells me that they're kind of thinking really hard about how much they'd like to overturn the ACA, take health care away from tens of millions of Americans, but do it after the election so that hopefully they can continue to advance the career and presidency, such as it is, of Donald J. Trump. The J stands for no coverage for pre-existing conditions. Now, if they do that, and you've got a Democratic House and a Democratic majority in the Senate, and you've got Joe Biden in the White House, then they can get after it lickety-split and get something out there again to try to make sure that all of America is able to go to the doctor when they're sick. We've all got different ideas, or there are a number of competing ideas as to what that would look like. I don't care what we call it. Call it cabbage. The bottom line is we have to be able for people to go to the doctor when they're sick. Of course, the other disgusting thing that's going on this evening, as Dave in South Carolina, Stan points out, he's bragging that he
got football back. We're going to have college football again.
And shame on the Big Ten. Eternal, unending shame on the Big Ten. In colleges across the United States right now, there's something a little less than 100,000 cases of COVID-19. And for instance, Iowa State University ain't doing dick about it. On the other hand, the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, as soon as they saw their outbreaks, they said, well, that was a mistake. So I reckon we will go back to online-only classes. I saw a video recently of a bunch of young scholars packed butthole to belly button in some sort of student apartment complex down in Tallahassee, Florida, the home of Florida State University, FSU, Free Shoe U. That's a reference from years back. And they were just partying, and they were LARPing and smollicking and grabulating and lollygagging all over each other and spewing and spraying and hollering, "Woo, go Noles, woo!" The Big Ten and the Pac-12 showed that they actually gave a good goddamn about their students and about the communities in which they exist. But today, they caved. They folded like a cheap suit. The vaunted, prestigious universities of the big fucking 10. Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State, Maryland,
Indiana, Illinois, Northwestern, Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska. They all bowed down and kissed Donald Trump's orange hairy toe. Nope, don't care. They say they're going to play an 8-game season. Don't care. Won't watch it. Don't want anything to do with it. The same rule that I applied to my beloved Mountaineers. Well, if I won't watch my beloved Mountaineers, ain't much chance of me watching the Fighting Illini neither. Nor the Crimson Tide of the University of Alabama. Mm-mm. And I don't know, maybe the Big Ten can copy that rule from the SEC where once you've got a player who's tested positive for it, they don't have to be tested again for 90 days. So they can just go out there on your old gridiron there and breathe and spew and huff and puff and snort and spit and grunt all over maybe other players who haven't had it yet. If it turns out that a couple of games in, there are any fucking college football players who haven't had it yet. I love college football. But God, this is becoming an argument for tearing the whole damn thing down after this is over and starting all over again with paid players. Yeah. So again, we got $340 to go this evening. Sorry for the late start, but we got $340 to go fundraising-wise. It would be great if we could finish yesterday, at the very least, and that would be 140. That's 14 at 10, 10 at 14, 1 at 140, 2 at 70, 4 at 35, 8 at 1750. If someone gets us started, quite often, others jump in alongside. And thank you, Jeremy, for getting us started earlier. Coincidence, says David in South Carolina, that the Big Ten is comprised of battleground states. Well, I mean, not so much Illinois and not so much Talibandiana, but Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Minnesota. You know, Donald Trump only narrowly lost Minnesota in 2016. Bless their hearts, they're not a lock. Yeah, Ralph says Democratic majorities in both houses and get rid of the damn filibuster. I don't know if Chuck Schumer has that kind of courage. Lee in New York, Trump vaccine, we already have it. Trump knows that many people have taken it with no ill effects. It's called placebo. Ask your doctor if placebo is right for you. Yeah, Silent R says, I love football. Being an engineer, they could separate the players like the pros, online education, and for the players, on-campus bubble. But they don't want to do that. No, hell no. Steven, I'm here in rural North Carolina, north of Raleigh. I probably have 10 or so Trump signs in my community. I'm thinking about putting a Biden sign in the yard, but I'm sure something will happen to it before it suns up the next day. So I got my Biden car stickers in today. Got them put on so I can get the ugly looks around town. Oh, well. Fuck them. Signed Steve in North Carolina stand. Good job. Just make sure you walk all the way around the car, truck every time you get in because, well, you never know when somebody's going to try to slash your tires. Stay safe, Steven. As for me saying the J stands for no coverage for pre-existing conditions, Brother Deacon Asa says, in Trump's case, the J stands for jaundice. Hear that, too. Stand your ground remedies to mask holes in Florida. Billable Rick says, the last time I checked, Florida's a stand-your-ground state. Seems to me that if a black teenager's possession of Skittles and Arizona iced tea, that'd be Trayvon Martin, is sufficient to make an aggrieved white person fear for his life, George Zimmerman,
then clearly someone could reasonably fear that their life is in jeopardy by the presence of virus-spewing mask holes at a Target store. That's true. That's one of the things that makes Florida a really, really, really frightening place to be. Because in Florida, thanks to the National Ruble Association, if you're scared of somebody, you can pull out your Freedom Protector and blow them the hell away. So, makes you wonder. Of course, that wouldn't apply in this case. I mean, George Zimmerman got off. But the fact of the matter is, you wouldn't want to, no jury. Let's say you're just standing in Target and they come hooting down through the center aisle. Huh? Take it off! Freedom! No more masks! Take it off, you silly assholes! Quit! Take off your mask, sheeple! And you go up with a ball bat, and you take them out at the knees, and then you keep beating on them until the threat is ended. Well, and the cops, of course, would say, well, how are they threatening you? Motherfucker, they're spewing virus. They're potential asymptomatic spreaders. Well, that ain't true. There ain't no such thing, would say Deputy Dog. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Billable Rex, this is Steve in New York. You forgot that Trayvon was also wearing a hoodie, too. Yeah. Jeremy's jumped back in, taking us down to 335. Thank you. I've joined the 2 in 200 for tonight. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy is standing shoulder to shoulder with Jeremy so far in the program. I agree, Trump never backed off the gas. He kept the pedal down and continued to mow more Americans down and still is. That's Steve in New York. No news here, but note that he's been saying repeal and replace since at least August of 2016. August 8th, 2016. History, evidence, it's a thing. And of course, he's pissed off now from his shit show. Yeah. Because, of course, because, Moran. And so he said something mean to the CDC. So, again, the CDC will probably cave like a cheap suit. Saw a gun. I mean, this is just embarrassing. President Trump urged Republicans to go for the much higher numbers in stalled negotiations over another economic yada, yada, yada. The New York Times reporting the coronavirus is out of control and is the number one global security threat in our world today, according to the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres, as the General Assembly gets underway. But here, this. This evening, Nitwit Nero, who has no medical training whatsoever, no scientific training whatsoever, who cheated to get into Wharton School of Business. Well, this evening he said that Dr. Robert Redfield was giving incorrect information when he testified to the Senate earlier today that a coronavirus vaccine was unlikely to be widely available before the middle of next year. That would be June!
I saw the statement. I called him. I said, what did you mean by that? And I think he just made a mistake.
And he also said that Redfield was wrong to say that a mask is more effective than a vaccine.
The mask is not as important as the vaccine. The mask perhaps helps.
Yeah, it helps. That's why your little minions made sure that all the mask hole covidiots who were behind you there in Minden, Nevada, were wearing a fucking mask. Piece of shit. And right now, a mask is more important than a vaccine. You know why? Because masks exist. Vaccines, not so much.
When I called up Robert today, I said, what's with the mask? He said, I think I answered that question incorrectly. I think maybe he had misunderstood it.
I don't think he said that. Because what he told the Senate today, and this is important and it's true, is even if a vaccine is available right now, trying to vaccinate enough Americans for widespread immunity could take around 6 to 9 months. He went on to say, there might be one by the end of the year, but its utility would be limited at best. But for general distribution, not till mid 2021. And it's not like he just yanked that out of thin air, because that's the same timeline that Dr. Fauci's talking about. But Nitwit Nero has to play to the lowest IQs among us, his base. Dr. Redfield described masks as, and this is a quote, the most important, powerful public health tool we have. I might even go so far as to say that this face mask is more guaranteed to protect me against COVID than when I take a COVID vaccine. The New York Times noting vaccines are not 100% effective, whereas masks worn properly do what they're designed to do. Trying to lie his way around it, Nitwit Nero declared,
I got the impression that he didn't realize he said what he might have said.
And then the kiss of death. Well, do you still have confidence in Dr. Redfield?
I do.
And, of course, last night at the town hall style event, I love the terminology, he said,
a vaccine could be ready within, 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I know the maggots believe him when he says that. But fuck me running. Does anybody else? Jesus. Just astonishing. Kinda. And yeah, the whole blame the blue states thing, it's absolutely sickening. Disgusting. While we're at it. Again, our ability to be surprised is deeply compromised. But I hope our ability to be disgusted isn't. He's a killer. He's a killer on the road. His brain is burning like a toad. Take a long holiday. Let your children play. If you give this man a ride, sweet family will die. Killer on the road. And it turns out that good maggot government in Texas was a little fast and loose with the COVID numbers. Somehow or another, health officials in the state of Texas managed to publish some new data this week. And it turns out that as Texas was just fairly itching and crawling to reopen and get, you know, it's Texas, we got to get people back in the bars. Well, the positivity rate was higher this past spring than the state let on. Even though people like Greg Abbott and Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick were using the dodgy data to reopen. It was back around April 27th when Greg Abbott said, COVID-19 infection rate's been on a decline over the past 17 days. Despite concentrating on areas where we think there may be a high level of number of people who could test positive, the fact remains that more than 95% of the people who were tested test negative. That was May 5th. And the dodgy data at the time said the daily average positivity rate in Texas was at 5.84%, which was just 8.84% higher than the 5% benchmark that the World Health Organization cited as the cutoff for easing restrictions. Oops. At the time, it was not 5.84%, but instead 8.4%. Which was 1.6 percentage points from the 10% threshold that Governor Abbott had said would be a warning flag, meaning high community spread. Lying, sorry, lying bastards. But we're surprised. Why? If? No? Oh, and since we were talking about signs, yard signs and the like, let's travel down to Tennistan, where there's a congressional candidate by the name of Christopher Hale. And he snapped a picture of a polling place, or a place that will be a polling place, in Bradley County, Tennistan. Now, let's remember that it's illegal to electioneer at a polling place or within a certain statute distance from the polling place. 100 feet, 50 yards, things like that. Well, this particular future polling place was festooned with, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11... 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 that I can count political right-wing Trump maggot images from Trump Shop 2020, because the polling place is apparently a Trump shop, to those desecrated American flags. You know, the monochrome ones with the one-colored line in it that the police fetishists like to use. Christopher Hale, and again, he's running in Tennessee's 4th Congressional District, said, I'm not bullshitting you. This is a voting location in my congressional district. After we win the election, I'll be sure to drape the place with Hale Yes flags. Get it? Remote cowbell for Democratic House candidate Christopher Hale. Hail yes. That's a hail of a campaign slogan, if you ask me. Yes, it is. I know. Oh, but hey, it is after all prayer meeting Wednesday, and it wouldn't be fair if we didn't have some good prayer meeting material. Flavio was sharing this with me last night, and I just couldn't bring myself to put it into Trumptanic Tuesday, and instead, I saved it for I saved it for prayer meeting Wednesday. We have to go to Michigan for this one. Yeah. Where a Roman Catholic church in Michigan well, the leadership there is apologizing a bit because a priest there by the name of Father Paul Graney, and he's the gospel sharp at Church of the Divine in Dearborn, declared that people are wanting to remake America into something else by destroying what it is today, and went on to compare Black Lives Matter with Al-Qaeda, saying that Black Lives Matter is working against the traditional family structure, and Black Lives Matter has America in its crosshairs. Al-Qaeda's goal was to come to the United States and kill Americans. Really just wanted to wipe America off the map. And they would have done it if they could. But today, those who we see wanting to bring down America are Americans, and they want to do it under the facade of justice, freedom, and love. But it's all a big bunch of baloney. It is anti-Christian. It's anti-family. It's evil. Yeah. Right.
Brother, from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord.
Here it comes.
Well, these days, if you turn on the news or open a newspaper or click on any news source online the past 3-4 months or so, you've seen maybe some of the ugliest times in our nation's history. People have been out in our streets doing incredibly violent things in the name of justice. Cars have been torched, property has been destroyed, businesses looted and burned, and police officers and other people have been intimidated, assaulted, and even murdered. All in the name of justice, oftentimes rallying cry being, no justice, no peace. Well, this past week, just a couple days ago, or I think yesterday, marked the 19th anniversary of 9/11, when Islamic terrorists hijacked passenger airplanes and flew them into the World Trade Center in New York City. Between the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, Flight 93, 2,977 people were murdered, over 25,000 people were injured. And since that time, many people have had health problems that they have come about because they were at Ground Zero and all the dust and everything. This was the deadliest terror attack, not in just American history, but in the entire history of the world. And the people who flew those planes and killed these people had one thing in mind: the destruction of the United States of America. They wanted to bring us to our knees, and eventually, slowly but surely, they wanted to destroy us. But we, instead...
Don't call me Shirley, Padre.
September 12th, were remarkably resolute and courageous, and as a nation, we hunted down these thugs, and we brought justice to them. The terrorist group, Al-Qaeda, with their leader, Osama bin Laden. We took a punch on the nose, collected ourselves, and we came back swinging. And what we set out to do, thanks to our brave men and women in the military, many of them have made the ultimate sacrifice, we have come out on top. I was in high school on 9/11. I was a sophomore, and it was algebra class, and the teacher came in, put the news on, and we were just shocked and horrified at what we were seeing. But I remember those days, the day after. Everybody in the entire nation was so very proud to be an American. And not only that, we learned, after we had learned what the police and the fire departments had done in New York City, the government, the media, citizens as a whole, we could not have been more proud and grateful to these men and women who ran to these towers when everybody's running away and gave up their lives trying to save whoever.
Yeah, yeah, skip a bit, brother. Nobody takes issue with that. But we're not quite so proud when they kneel on a defenseless black man's neck and grind the life out of him, or when they burst into a woman's apartment and blow her away in her sleep, or when they put a bag on a man's head and suffocate him in the middle of a mental health crisis. You know, I'm just thinking putting a bag on his head and suffocate him in the middle of a mental health crisis is not something you would put under the "What Would Jesus Do?" column. Ye generation of vipers.
Attempt of a revolution taking place, the goal being to implement communism, a stateless, classless society. And the names of these people, they're groups. You've probably seen their names. Antifa, which is an anarchist terrorist organization.
No, it isn't.
An extreme left-wing.
It's not even an organization.
Capitalism, law enforcement, and any sort of government hierarchy or organization.
Why don't you listen, you filthy fucking priest? Why don't you just go ahead and say they hate Jesus too? That's as imaginary. I mean, that's as that untrue as any. Sure, fucking asshole. But do you hear the echo in the room there? Yeah. Do you notice that when he said that they're all commies and hate America? I don't. Did you notice that nobody in the congregation stands up and says, "Oh, fuck you! You fucking idiot! You whited sepulcher! You son of Satan! You generate member of a generation of vipers! You liar! You son of the prince of darkness! You!" And you know why nobody does that? I mean, they're sitting there in the pews. I don't know if they're doing in-person services in Michigan. But it doesn't really matter, because that never happens in church. You know, somebody might go home and mumble and grumble a little bit over Sunday dinner. I can't believe he said that. But you don't stand up and challenge directly the guy who's wearing the magic clothing and who's in charge of the magic cracker and the magic and the magic grape juice. You don't do that. You do not challenge authority in the church, because they have the power over heaven and hell with you, so you don't dare speak up or speak out. It's one of the reasons I loved and respected my father so much. Every time I drive to Charleston, I have to go down US 60. I've told this story before. And I think the name of the church is St. Anthony's. And it sits right hard by the road in a little community down in the valley. And my dad told me of the story about how he was traveling the road one day. I think he was coming home from work on the day shift or something. And there were a bunch of people at that Roman Catholic church, and they were all sweating and heaving and hauling a big bell up into the belfry, because the church had a new bell. And my dad, being a helpful soul, I didn't care what their religion was. These folks looked like they needed help, and hillbillies are like that. Here, I'll give you a hand. And so he joins right in, heaving on the rope. And then he looks over, and there stands the priest with his eyes cast heavenward and his hands clasped behind his back. And my dad says, "Hey, why isn't he working?" And the flock looked at him and said, "Well, we couldn't ask Father to work. That's beneath him." My dad looked at him and said, "It's beneath me too. See ya." And let go of the rope and went about his business. But nobody hollers "fuck you" at Father Paul Graney. And so now, having found out that maybe this is going to have a little bit to do with the, and it's old tax-free, hallelujah, It may be, well, they figured out that maybe it's not so going to be so good for the receipts. So the head of Church of the Divine, the head pastor there, Reverend Bob McCabe, said he pulled down the September 12th sermon almost right after it was posted. But it turns out that a woman who called for him to be disciplined had shared a copy of it on Facebook and had it already. Oopsie. So they're having to apologize for comparing Black Lives Matter, an organization that simply aims to end the brutality that is regular and routinely practiced against people of color in this country by members of law enforcement, you know, to a religious fundamentalist terrorist organization. Funny. It would seem that Father Graney has more of that religious fundamentalism in common with Al-Qaeda than he does with, Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life. Note coming in from Cynthia. I wonder if this religious thug gives a damn about the historical 1921 slaughter of some 300 black Americans in the Tulsa community known as Black Wall Street. I doubt it. I bet he would have been right there as part of the white mobs murdering them or perhaps flying one of the planes bombing them. I hate these people, Bob. I hate them. The fucking pigs. It makes me wish there were a Jesus to send all the pigs like this to burn in hell. Yeah, just watch them. Just flick them into the lake of fire. And there you go. And there you go. And there you go. And there you go. Into the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And you too. Kaylee Maganini. Come here. Yeah, yeah. Oop. And pinches her little head off. And now I'm going to toss your little noggin down into hell, and the demons are going to play soccer practice with it. Whoopsie. Yeah. That's a good question. Elbert in Rhode Island asking, hey, Bob, why hasn't Putin offered Trump the Russian vaccine? They could give it to all his cult members at a stupid rally. Why not indeed? Maybe he needs a few favors before he does something like that. Cynthia pointing out earlier, so Trump's okay with millions of Americans dying from the COVID? Sounds to me like Trump has Hitler envy, and he's trying to have his own version of the Holocaust here. Whether he's trying to or not, or recognizes it or not, that's probably going to wind up what it feels like. Note from Robert in Australia. This guy's a Catholic priest? Yep. I was raised Catholic, but gave up religion when I turned 18. It was a waste of 2.5 days every year. Wait a minute. That needs to be on a bumper sticker. Religion, a waste of 2.5 days every year. You can tell it's a Catholic church from the mumbled response from the congregation. See? See? Seriously, this guy's a Catholic priest? I did a few wedding videos over the years, Robert says. The Catholic priests were always the worst to deal with. Arseholes. All. And the congregation said, Amen. Wait a minute, says Ron and Raleigh. So we went to Saudi Arabia and killed the money men that financed the attacks on the World Trade Center. These dumbass motherfuckers really have no concern for the truth. And no relationship with it either, Ron. I didn't hear him mention anything about us giving a pass to the man who had a journalist working in America killed. He also didn't say a mumbling word about all the Iraqis and Afghans killed for no good reason. Truly tired of the lies. What is this bullshit about it being caste, not race, that's the problem in this country? Well, that's just another attempt to evade reality. Caste? We don't have any fucking castes. Wrong continent. Lee in New York says, a patriotic preacher. He was so inspired. That's why he didn't sign up to serve to protect the nation. Ta-da! Oh, here's the latest in paranoia. And by the way, I predicted in the last 24 hours or so, Dave number 11 sent me a video of a plane flying low and dropping... Fire fire extinguishing, fire retardant materials, a big red dust cloud. And I said, yeah, give it a couple of days. The maggots will out there be out there hooting that Antifa, it's red, see, they're commies. Antifa's out here dusting us with their mind control dust. Chemtrails. Antifa training wild animals. My uncle, who is a cop a few towns over, told me those lost souls in Antifa are training small woodland critters to attack hikers. There are so many trails in the area. I want to let people know what this group is doing to corrupt not only our children, but our wildlife. Raccoons and weasels are their most common targets. Good luck out there. Hashtag Trump 2020. Hashtag Cry Me a River Snowflake. Hashtag Love It or Leave It. I wish that was satire. David, if that's satire, please let me know it's satire, because I don't want to live in a world where that's not satire. Or I'd at least like to repair the world that thinks that that's real. Yeah. But hey, it's prayer meeting Wednesday. Let's check in with Sandra McDowell. She recently got blown out in the Republican primary in Missouri when she was running for governor. But still, she got 12% of the GOP primary vote. Sitting Governor Mike Parson got 75%. But still, there were 12% of Missouri Republicans who took a look at Sandra McDowell and said, yeah, her! So, Thursday last, she posted a picture of herself on the Facebook. She's inside a Wally World. And apparently there's an end cap that's covered in those two-pack, one-pound tanks of propane that I buy so many of in the winter. And posting her picture on Facebook, she said, I'm not afraid to take a stand. Are you? I walked into Walmart tonight without a mask. And I refuse to wear a mask anywhere I go from now on unless I choose to. That's my right, as it is yours. But really, this is not about masks. Masks are just a symbol of deception and oppression. It's compliance training. No apostrophe there in the it's because, well, maggot spelling, fuck it, who cares? It's compliance training for what's to come. It's about, now we get the asterisk. It's about control and instilling fear in America. Fear is not of the Lord, but of the enemy. Despair is the absence of faith. This is all part of a demonic ritual to get rid of our individual God-given rights. Now imagine this. Wearing a mask to prevent the spread of a deadly goddamn virus is a demonic ritual. BLM just said it. It's a spiritual battle. They're chanting to dead spirits practicing witchcraft. Oddly enough, we had this on last week's prayer meeting Wednesday, so we know who she's paying attention to. Our bodies, our faces are created in the image of God. We shall not veil our faces spiritually or practically. 2 Corinthians, walk into a bar. 2 Corinthians 3:13 through 16. I guess she forgets the fact that Mary, the mother of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate itinerant rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life, well, Mary masked her face on a fairly regular basis. Our country was founded on freedom and liberty for all. And God was the author of our nation and that freedom and liberty. Not people. God. Their faith in God. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Sit, liberty. Sit. Woo!
2 Corinthians
3:17. Hashtag take a stand. Hashtag spiritual battle. Hashtag warrior for Christ. Hashtag unmask Mo. Hashtag MoGov. Hashtag Bible verse. Hashtag Missouri. Hashtag more for Missouri.
And she was at least kind enough to point out where she was doing this viral spewing. She was at the Walmart in O'Fallon, Missouri. Yeah. So if you're out in the Show Me State and you need to go to Wally World, you might want to strongly consider staying the fuck away from the Walmart in O'Fallon, Missouri. Yes, indeed. Good observation, Lee, in New York. You know where I've never seen a person with a mask, asks Lee? In a coffin! These people do not understand the connection. You know, it was here, this program, that a member of the Horn Family Community Congregation pointed out early in our discussion of the Rona. Your choice, 6 feet apart or 6 feet under. Right. What the fuck, Jeremy in Vermont. It says, gunning down, gassing, and working to death 6 million people by the Germans and the Nazi Party wasn't worse than 9/11. What the? I know. But priests are funny that way. Priests are funny a lot of ways. Oh, and one little additional nugget of information. Crazy Sandra McDowell is a proud graduate of the Pat Robertson School of Law. No shit, I kid you not. Suddenly everything makes a hell of a lot more sense. Randy in PA noting, Trump holds his rallies while Biden stays home. That's quite an advantage for Trump. Yeah, I don't know if it is or not. I like to think that there's more people in America who understand how dangerous this damn pandemic is than would be willing to go to a rally, because it's not like Biden can hold rallies. We don't want to kill Biden voters. Trump's such a psychopathic maniac. He's down with killing his own voter, his own base. Jesus. So, you know, let's do the virtual campaign. We can't risk his life. And Randy, I really don't think that provides Trump that much of an advantage, because the rest of the country watches his rallies, if they watch him at all, just to see what kind of outrageous lie he'll tell next. Hey, let's run back over to the stress line. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Dave in the Blind.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I emailed you about a correction that needs to be made.
Okay.
I'm not blind. I have cerebral palsy. You told Bill Warwick that I was blind.
Ah, okay. I thought you were visually challenged as well.
Well, my eyesight isn't the best, but I'm not blind.
Okay.
I'm nearsighted.
Okay.
Sorry
about that. Didn't mean to make things worse for you than they were.
No problem. Also, a few weeks ago, I noticed some Trump cultists going down what remains of the National Highway near downtown, and white pickup trucks with Trump flag, Trump 2020 flags flying in the front, and American flags tacked 2x4s on the back.
Nice.
I mean, classy, right? I mean, all these people, well, they're not respecting the flag. Well, you dumbasses, if you would actually read what the protocols are, you're not either. But I called in about that preach. Evidently, he's not listened to that bishop in Rome, Frank. Came out early.
Frank the Bishop of Rome, yes.
print came out early saying that Black Lives Matter had a moral purpose. So evidently, the good father is at odds with the good bishop. And I have a feeling the bishop's going to win that argument.
Well, it's that whole infallibility when he speaks from the Sea of St. Peter. Yeah, right.
Well, that's what he's speaking from the seat, from the seat, and he. But just as a general rule, you don't go up against the Pope. You know, it's not seen as good form. I'm sure his local bishop is looking over and going, "Good God, now I got to deal with this shit." You know. But, yeah, things have been going pretty good. Like I say, that was kind of disconcerting. I mean, the Trump pansies were honking and yelling and hooting and hollering, and they were all in white pickup trucks. So while I didn't see them wearing white hoods, there were definitely white hoods around. It was like, I'm thinking to myself, and this is happening, why? And then I remembered, I'm living in Talladega, Indiana.
Well, there is that. Always,
you know,
worth remembering.
You're just as likely to hear it. The South will rise again. Well, you know, you're above the north part of the Mason-Dixon line. It don't matter. And there's a saying here, south of 40, and that's I-40. And linguistically, things change. You might as well be in northern Kentucky, south of I-40 in Indiana. I don't know, man. It's weird, but things are going good. My sister is started teaching again this school year, and her little scholars are distance learning. They tried doing the in class thing, and one state representative sent a letter out to all school districts saying that over 50% of their class time had to be in person or they could lose their funding. And then when he got called on it, he said, well, that wasn't a threat. I'm thinking, well, what the hell was it? Why send it out if that wasn't the intent? I swear, Bob, we need to dig these people. we need to dig these people up and put a stake through their heart, because they're nothing but a bunch of blood sucking fucks.
A little garlic comes in handy.
Well, I reserve my garlic for the spaghetti sauce
That makes me wonder if the fermented garlic brine with Henry's garlic, oregano, Siciliano olives would maybe drive them away.
Ooh, I wonder if he does mail order. I mean, if I can order
Dave. I don't know. Dave number 11 will have to let us know about that.
Well, then I leave it to my fraternity brother to come through on that. Like I said, a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago.
I mean, I'm guessing Henry probably doesn't ship. Just because Dave does such a bang up job when these things are bubble wrapped for a trip to the moon. I mean, when these came in, I was hacking through them with a chef's knife, because it wasn't too long before airtime. I was like, I got to try these, and took a little work.
Well, see, that's where you and I have a problem, Bob. We're foodies. We love good food because life's too short to eat crap.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely not. He does not ship, says Dave number 11. He's a one-man band, and he's elderly. So.
Oh, well, then I understand.
Yeah, you'll have to live vicariously through me.
I will have to live vicariously through you and Dave 11. Yeah. Oh, but that does sound great. But like I was saying, a friend of mine made ratatouille, and I'd never had it. And the vegetables and the garlic came out.
Yeah, but it's really not the same unless you've got really fresh rat.
Yeah.
Yeah, there went dinner in the Mountain Time Zone.
Here I try to share a beloved memory of food porn, and you turn it into something filthy, you bastard.
Hey, are you just figuring? It's not like I haven't been doing this for years. Are you just figuring that out?
Oh no, I've known for several years. When we talk food porn, you and I don't usually bring in the indigestible. So. I was just taken aback there, Bob.
I understand, Dave.
But, I don't know what to do with these people. I mean, Christine, she's going to try and vote by mail. I'm a little dubious about that. I'm going to go down and actually cast my ballot. That way, they can't say, well, you didn't prove who you were. And it's sad that when in 2020, and it's been for years, you still occasionally hear a radio spot telling people who've been convicted of a felony that if they are not in prison, they are eligible to vote. When DOC was telling them they weren't.
Right.
So, but then remembering that they have a vested interest in not letting people be heard, that, and there's no one that can be complained to because everything is shut up tighter than a drum. And if you try to question officials about it, well, I don't have time to talk about that. That has been, they've used the coronavirus as an excuse not to do their jobs. By and large here in Talibandia. And you know, I read that cases were climbing in Indiana. It doesn't surprise me. I've watched people in the downtown area here in Indianapolis. There's an apartment building with a pool across the street from where I live. And they're out there every night just like it's a regular barbecue.
Sure.
And no masks, no distancing. It isn't like this one person swimming in the pool at a time or anything like that because freedom. And I just, it took me the longest time to convince Christine to wear her mask because she was hurting. Oh, I can't breathe. And I can't be understood. I'm like, well, you just have to talk a little louder. But she's wearing it now, especially since her favorite diner had to go to carry out only because they don't have any wait staff. And finding somebody is damn difficult now. But I just wanted to chime in on that priest. I'm thinking, God, what an idiot.
Yeah.
And I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. That priest. Here, we've got something that fits him nicely. Stand by just a second.
All right.
You dick!
There, yes. We all feel better now, don't we?
Oh, Professor Spinelli. Haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, I hate to just kind of leave him out there flapping in the breeze.
Well, I'm glad he chimed in. I'll talk to you later, Bob.
All right. You take care, Dave. Good to hear from you, my friend. Bye now.
Bye.
Calling from the blind in Taliban, Indiana. That's our buddy Dave. And my apologies for misabling. Misabling. That's a word for misabling him. Oh, dear. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the reminder, Jude. I saw this earlier, and I'm glad you reminded me so I could not forget it. Oh, for pity's sakes. There is something out there called the Annual National Catholic Prayer Breakfast. And they've got an award they like to give away. It's called the Christi Fidelis Laici Award. They'll be having their prayer breakfast meeting and whatnot on the 23rd, exactly 7 days from today. And the Christi Fidelis Laici Award is awarded ostensibly to someone who is in honor and gratitude for fidelity to the church, exemplary, selfless, and steadfast service in the Lord's vineyard. In the grape business, apparently. The wine business. Oh, my Jesus. I mean, come on. There's got to be somebody more worthy. Somewhere, there's a Roman Catholic priest who has actually been faithful to the church, exhibited exemplary, selfless, and steadfast service in the Lord's vineyard. I don't know. Maybe someone working with the immigrant community. Or maybe someone working on the front lines of the COVID pandemic. Nah, fuck them. These people who have the annual National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, they know where their bread's buttered. So, in honor and gratitude for fidelity to the church, exemplary, selfless, and steadfast service in the Lord's vineyard, please welcome the son of the guy who hired Jeffrey Epstein and gave him his first teaching job and sent him well down the road on his career choice of pedophilia and exploitation of young women for sexual gratification. Welcome William Barr, recipient of the Christi Fidelis Laici Award. Yeah, really. A death penalty supporter. No, really. He's been enjoying himself lately. Seeing to the execution of a number of prisoners. And then there's a guy who, he's also a guy who believes in putting children in cages. Remember what Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life, said about that. Anyone who would harm one of these, it would be better than a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Yeah. I know. Bill Barr. Laborer in the Lord's vineyard. And see, this is why the Roman Catholic Church has such a, how to put it, credibility problem. Between priests who compare Black Lives Matter to Al-Qaeda, to Bill Barr getting a Christian Faithfulness Award, yeah, no, the Christianity's not in a good way. Nor is it with a non-Roman Catholic gospel sharp. John MacArthur, a gospel sharp out of California. Now, there's a court order in place that says he can't host massive in-person church services. John MacArthur can't. But, nonetheless, Grace Community Church in Sun Valley has been engaging in no social distancing, no masks, and congregating butthole to belly button, as he declared, and John MacArthur did, there is no pandemic. And so it was that on the 13th day of September, 16, 15, 20, Sunday this past, instead of holding a service outside under God's sweet heavens, nope, he held an indoor service and potentially subjected, God alone knows, how many gazillions, okay, not gazillions, but hundreds, thousands, because, I mean, they are packed in like goddamned hypocrites, they're packed in like pious sardines. And then proving, in fact, that he is a bioterrorist, John MacArthur issued what terrorists often do, a list of demands. Clap, you monkeys, clap! God, that sounds like when the Stones are running out onto the stage in concert.
You people are out of control. Oh, thank you. Are you happy to be at church?
Okay. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Before we begin, the question has come up a number of times about why Grace Church does not just comply with the orders that...
Oh, wait a minute. Cowbell for Dave number 11. Hearing the roar of the audience, Dave number 11 just emailed, Freebird! Yeah, the only thing missing there. And yeah, I didn't see the audience shot, so maybe people were holding up their Bic lighters too. Freebird!
Have been laid down for churches, and I thought it might be helpful to give you the list of things that are required of us as a church, so that you understand how utterly impossible that would be. Here are the basic orders. No indoor meetings at all. Pre-registration of every person who comes onto church property. People only allowed on church property for scheduled events. Every person who comes on the property is to be screened and have their temperature taken at the entry.
Yeah, huh. I mean, is there at least a box of Kleenex for everybody who comes on church property? Sorry, that was gratuitous.
We all must maintain 6 feet of social distance at all times everywhere, including the parking lot and the restrooms.
Yeah, by the way, this mask whole COVIDiot is not wearing a mask. And, yeah, you might want to maintain your social distance in the restroom. He seems to be surprised by that. But restrooms are, by definition, a great place for spreading the Rona, because they tend to be smaller and more enclosed, because potty!
Every other parking space must be left vacant.
Oh, listen to the little maggots just chuckling.
Marked pathways to maintain social distance, keeping people apart, monitored by staff monitors.
You know what's interesting? Everything he's describing there, everybody else in California is able to do. No, really. Nobody's oppressed by marking 6-foot distances. But, you know, that might take a little bit out of the reverend's pocket. Hallelujah. Maintaining a list of who comes and who goes. Well, that's not ridiculous if you'd like to contact Trace when the fucking fire breaks out. But, you know.
Everyone always wearing a mask. Restroom monitors to control 6 feet social distancing at restrooms. Tape on the ground marking distance.
Not tape on the ground!
Sign.
Well, that's clearly communism.
Signs indicating these mandates and also full exposure on social media. Restrooms are to be used during the service to minimize the rush. That would be interesting. No hymn books, no communion, no offering containers.
There's the rub.
No pew Bibles, no singing.
I don't know. Check the restrooms. There's probably some pew Bibles in there.
No hugging, no shaking hands. Disposable seat covers changed between services. And the services have to be shortened. That's not a problem to me, right? And based upon the separation, we could only meet in the tent with a maximum of 350 to 400 people. You can see that these are the requirements that would completely shut the church down.
Now let's take a moment here. I do have a view of what the crowd looks like there. Yep, sorry about the hiccups. Nicotine pouches tend to do that. That was a new thing I learned. But it's this huge, huge room full of people who don't know each other. And they are. They're crammed in butthole to belly button. There's not a mask in sight. And they care not a damn bit for their neighbors because they're willing to kill them. In a church that big, you can't know everybody in the congregation. Every Sunday's one great big game of who the fuck are you? But it's these mega church affairs are volume businesses, you know, just like Walmart.
Anybody who comes in contact with someone outside their family for more than 15 minutes must self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Obviously, this is not constitutional, but more importantly, it goes against
obviously
the will
it is.
Of the church. He calls us to gather. Amen?
No, he really doesn't.
So look at the person next to you and say, I don't know who you are, but I'm so glad I'm sitting next to you.
He even admits it. He's got a room full of total strangers, but he's got to put their lives at risk. Disgusting. Note coming in from Flavio, you should mention the oranges origins of the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast. It was established, Flavio reminds us, in 2004, and its founding circle members included Joseph Sella, Leonard Leo, and Rick Santorum, Brofromix, Rick Sanctum Santorum, among others. It connected prominent Catholic politicians and representatives of the Catholic clergy, businessmen, political and religious activists. Leo has led campaigns to support the Supreme Court nominations of John Roberts, Samuel Alito, Neil Gorsuch, and Brett Kavanaugh. And out of those four, only one is not a Catholic. That would be Neil Gorsuch. He made a lateral move to Catholic light. I think he's an Episcopal. In 2017, before Justice Kavanaugh's appointment and confirmation, legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin wrote that Leo was responsible to a considerable extent for one-third of the justices on the Supreme Court. In other words, it's not a religious event, it's a political event, and the fuckers need to pay taxes. He calls them together, says Jeremy in Vermont. He may call them together, but he sure as hell may call them home all too soon as well, dumb fuckers. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Herd mentality, y'all. So we're going to wrap up with $340 to go in fundraising. That means we're going to have a $540 fundraising goal tomorrow. Thanks, Jeremy, for helping out this evening. You are sincerely appreciated. Thank you very kindly. But, of course, the the real... the real purpose of the religion industry can be found in the pure practices of Jim Baker. Because Jim Baker is hustling Joseph's Storehouse food offer for only $10,000. $10,000 gets you 115 buckets of bucket pudding and other various and sundry forms of bucket goo. Dried whole egg powder, vegetable stew, pancake mix, beans, oats, and more. Oh, tell me the bucket pudding's in there. As Hemant Mehta over at The Friendly Atheist puts it, it's 27,703 servings of food no reasonable person would ever voluntarily eat with a supposed shelf life of 30 years. Mm-hmm. Jesus. But again, I give credit to Jim Baker because he makes no bones about his hustle. He's not pretending to be a religious event hosting a political breakfast. He's a grifter. He's not ashamed to tell you. And the thing is, he will, by God, sell a few of those 115 bucket collections of, I don't know, Soylent Gym. Really. And one last thing before we sing the doxology and head on out of the congregation. We need to go to Ohio for this. And noted anti-Trump Governor John Kasich. You know, he gets a lot of love, John Kasich does. Gets a lot of love because, well, he occasionally says he's not a complete knee pad wearing fan of Trump. Well, as of today, or as of the day yesterday, Ohio House Bill 272 is a law in the state of Ohio. What does Ohio House Bill 272 do now that it's been signed into law by, I mean, not John Kasich, Mike DeWine. My bad. Governor Mike DeWine signed it in, you know, and he was praised for getting the pandemic right, but no. Well, the language that was, of course, it had the support of almost every Republican in the state Senate, and had the support of every Republican in the House of Representatives in Ohio, including the guy who says that he won't wear a mask because God, the most powerful critter in the whole universe, won't be able to recognize him if he's got a mask on. Here I am, created the whole fucking universe. And who's the guy with the mask? You'd think I'd know that, wouldn't you? Yeah. The bill reads as follows. Notwithstanding any contrary provision of the revised code, no public official shall issue an order to close all places of worship in the state or in a geographic area of the state, even if there is a pandemic going on. They're killers. They're bioterrorists. Yeah. And Mike DeWine is just pandering to the evangelicals and other religious goons and freaks. Because even though he shut down churches and said it would be dangerous for people to attend church in the middle of a pandemic, the Christers got mad at him because they wanted to LARP and spew and smolik and grabulate and rub around butthole to belly button and spray viral particles and sing Hosanna and expel viral particles like goddamn mortars into the air. Right. And so when the pandemic gets worse, don't blame the bars in Ohio. Don't even blame the poor, ignorant students at the various colleges. No, by God. Blame the Republicans, because that's who done it. So that's the program. Sorry for the tardy entrance this evening, but it was unavoidable. It's going to continue as long as I can. It'll happen from time to time as long as I have to continue being Bob Kincaid, amateur Uber driver. It's wearing me the hell out. But I'll try to be on time tomorrow evening and Friday on the front porch, too. I hope. Thanks, everybody. Thank you to Jeremy this evening. Thank you to our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors so very much for keeping this program on the air and making it possible for it to exist. Thanks to all of you for sharing your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve from Georgistan in the chat room. Pinch hit chat room moderator and all-around great guy. He's wrestling with an air cast right now. You know, Steve says the damn thing's like a puzzle and I got to adjust it. That's got to suck. Sorry about that. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, the birthday boy. HeadOn.live. Brand new Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. on HeadOn.live. The best place to listen to the Malloy program as we gather around the Truth Seeker campfire. Feel free to put the flint and steel to a little bit of dry tinder in the chat room there. Hang out and enjoy it. Thank you to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please, as we've demonstrated on this program this evening, it's only getting worse. And from Nitwit Nero and his desire to unleash herd mentality down to the preachers and the priests and the QAnon goonies and the freaks. They're trying to kill you. Sorry, but reality spoken here. So stay home if you can. If you can't stay home, for God's sakes, wear a mask, wear your gloves, wash your hands, don't touch your face. Carry a little bottle of hand sanitizer with you everywhere you go. I carry one in my European-style messenger bag. Maintain your social distance, not 6 feet, but 10, just like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And if a gang of maggots come toward you hooting and hollering about, take it off! Do not assume that they are hallucinating that they're in a strip joint. No, assume that they are and treat them like the plague. Because they are. Later, y'all.